Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. I don't know. I think Rudy texted me. He's already on, but I do not know if he can hear me. Can you hear me, Rudy?
Yes, I can.
Oh, awesome. I'm so excited. I before you kick off, and I know you're ready to go, and I'm just so excited. I just wanted to share with everyone, as other people are logging on, I got the chills, and I get the just energy flowing right in my arm. I can feel like all bound through my back. When I talk about a full-time dreamer, folks, when I talk about someone, well, he'll explain about the Leaf coach part, but the eternal optimist, the bon vivant, the guy who just kind of walks down the street, happy to love life, loving the luxurious lifestyle, traveling the world, literally been all over, the hope dealer himself. I have been inspired by him for, I can't tell you how many years. He was on some of the original. He was actually this gentleman right here. Rudy Vedadol is literally a original from the Wake Up to Prosperity team that used to kick this off on a daily basis with a 10 to 20 minute nugget for anyone and everyone who wanted to dial in. And maybe one day we'll get to the point where we have that kind of reach and we're hitting everyone on a daily basis, just a bam. But right now I'm so honored. I'm so excited and thankful that you from the original team are coming on to the Wake Up to Prosperity to jolt everyone, to share that universal love with everyone and everyone, Rudy, the way you've inspired me over the years. And I know you'll inspire others. I truly, genuinely hope you hear how genuinely appreciated and respected you are, my friend.
Wow. Oh, my golly gosh. It's a plum-pleasing pleasure to be on the phone with such greatness. Dave, I don't know how many people on this, like, all of you on this call have greatness to you, just like I do. I got the text from Dave this morning about 6:30.
Rudy, I apologize for jumping in. You're breaking up a little bit. It's kind of hard to hear you. I don't know. I got a text from.
Is that better?
Oh, that's much better. 1,000 times better, man. I want to make sure that this recording gets you and that we hear everything you've got to say. And again, I hope you were able to hear me. I don't know if I was muffled, but we're honored and thankful to have you sharing today. So again, you are appreciated and respected, my friend. Please continue, and I can hear you clearly now. I'm so excited.
I really am.
Awesome. I'm so humbled and flattered with the invitation to be on the call this morning. I'm amongst greatness, and I'm amongst greatness on the pagan block. It's just a lovely pleasure to have this invitation. And Dave and I had a great chat a few minutes ago, and I said, it is the perfect timing. And it's in such a great place in life. I'm going to tell part of my story and give lots of inspiration and nuggets into it. And if you guys want to put the paper, that's what I call Facebook. You are welcome to send me a friend request. Rudy, R-U-D-Y.
Rudy, I apologize for jumping in again. They're telling me you're breaking up tremendous. We're getting every other couple words.
Try it around and see if I can. I'm on the road.
That's okay. While you're doing that, I'm going to let everyone know the reason. He's probably who the heck knows where he who you even are, Rudy. We've talked at times where he's home in the Michigan area. We've talked at times where he's down here in Texas, but he's been all over the world. I'm like, what country are you in, and what mountains are you over? I mean, where are you? Because sometimes he's like, oh, it's a satellite phone. And so I truly apologize, folks, and appreciate your patience. I know we're getting every other word, and I am getting the text messages, and Beth said yes to let Rudy know. So I apologize for interjecting, Rudy. Are you able to
hear me better now?
I can hear you better now. Keep talking. Yes. I feel like I'm in a commercial.
We see so much for these fancy iPhones, and they don't always work so well. Can you hear me now?
We're getting a little bit of it, yeah. We're getting more, but it's still really broken up.
I'm just gonna hope that I pray, please let this call happen. I'm driving.
Amen, brother. Wow. Amen. I'm gonna stop talking. I'm gonna let you go with it from here with what we can go.
Can you hear me better now?
I can.
You can hear me?
You're loud, it just breaks up. You're loud enough, it just breaks up.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm driving now. I was pulled over at a gas station, and now I'm trying to drive around, and hopefully you'll tell me, hey, you got a good spot. You're not
now you're clear.
I'm clear?
You sound great.
I'm pulling over. Because I don't really want to be driving and doing this. All right, we're still good? We're still good, Dave? Dave.
Yes, sir. We're still good. Just go from where you were at. Yes, sir.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, gang, I am Rudy Vidavel. We spell our last name V as in Victor, E-D-O, V Victor, E-L-L. And I like to say that because Victor is how I feel in life. I feel like I'm victorious in my life. I told Dave earlier on a phone call, just before we got on this amazing community that you put together, Dave, this Wake Up to Prosperity community, that you're getting me at the perfect time. This coming Monday is my 50th birthday, and as a celebrator of life, I certainly like to celebrate others' lives equally as well, but 50, I mean, we're talking 50 years, 5 decades that I've been on this planet, and what a trip it's been. It's been such an epic adventure right from the womb. Even going back 9 months when the season before I was born, my dad had to literally talk my mom into having me. She was an only child, and she's like, they had my sister 3 years before. They were like, nope. She was like, I'm good. I don't want another kid. So my dad had to literally talk her into having me, and I'm so glad that he did because it's just been a wonderful life, and I'm just humbled by all the amazing experiences I've been able to have. One of the things Dave and I were talking about before I got on this phone this morning was, you know, we often get kind of caught up in our titles and accolades. And so if I were to meet you at a cocktail party, very, very seldom would I actually say what I do. I'll say I'm a full-time dreamer. I'm a eternal optimist. Hydration coach is one of my favorite funny ones. And people are like, what's a hydration coach? And I'll say, oh my gosh, have you ever heard of a hydration coach? It's huge out in California. Everybody's a hydration coach. But one of my favorites was I've been involved with Christian ministry over the past 20 plus years. And I used to, when I was really, really heavy into it, I used to have a business card that had my name, Rudy Vidavel, VFJ. And VFJ is a volunteer for Jesus. And so if anybody wants to steal that, hey, I stole it from the missionary. It's a great conversation starter. So when you meet somebody today, you know, we get asked several times throughout any given day, hey, how you doing? And it's interesting to study and listen to how people respond to a very, very common question. I'm okay. Today, I propose the next time somebody asks you that question, you look at them with a sparkle in your eye and you say, I'm phenomenal. Or another one I like to say is, I'm super good, but I'm improving. So growing up, you got to know me, you got to know where I've come from. And the saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, is very true for me. I am my dad's kid. I am the quintessential adventurer. But my dad is even more so the quintessential adventurer. I think I've been to 90 countries. My dad, probably 128, I'll say. And his hero growing up in the Depression was an author by the name of Richard Halliburton.
Okay. Can you hear me better? Like, did you kind of lose me there? I'm trying to.
Here, is that better? You're there, just much better. When you speak into the microphone, it's much clearer, so I apologize. Continue. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm telling you guys about my dad. He grew up during the Depression. He'll be 93 this November. Richard Halliburton was an adventurer himself, a grand adventurer, and he wrote this book called The Book of Marvels, which during the Depression,
kind of like Emily Dickinson's There's No Frigate Like a Book. She didn't travel much. Books were her escape. During the Depression, people didn't have a lot of money, so they couldn't travel much. They get this book, and it starts off, it takes you on a trip around the world. He starts off in San Francisco, Golden Gate Bridge, Alcatraz, goes on to Yosemite and Hoover Dam and Grand Canyon. So anyway, my dad, if Richard Halliburton skied Mount Fuji in Japan or skied the swam the Bosphorus in Turkey, by golly, my dad, he's going to do it too. And so I grew up in this very adventuresome family. Like, my dominating memory from my childhood was we lived on a sailboat for a year in 1975 and sailed for an entire year all through the Caribbean. That's my dominating memory. And I've just gone on to do so many epic adventures. And when I share my adventures, it's not to impress anybody, but it's to inspire people. Like, get out of the United States and go see the world. There's so many amazing places. So when I was in college, I studied landscape architecture, and it was a really intense program. I was constantly at my desk drawing and getting projects finished. And during that time, I would get my atlas out, and I would just dream of all the places that I want to go. And, you know, isn't it true in life? Like, we get what we picture, what we think about, we bring about. And so I'm a big advocate and believer of the law of attraction, and, you know, be careful with your thoughts and be careful what you speak. Speak positive things. So anyway, that was kind of my outlet when I was in college, dreaming about places I wanted to go. And my college experience, one of the things that was a pivot point was my faculty was like kind of against me. They're like, you're the worst student to come through our program. Your class is the worst class we've had in years. That was huge for me. It pissed me off. And they're telling me, no, you're not going to graduate next year. We'll see you next year. And I was like, oh, hell no. I was planning this epic trip. When I graduate college, I'm going to go on a trip around the world for a year. And that was my dream. And I saw that dream come true. And then I sent those professors postcards from around the world the next year. And I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to start my own landscape business. But I just didn't want to do it right out of college. I wanted to go see the world. And it was on that trip, a much bigger journey, a much, much bigger adventure was happening. And that was the journey to my heart. I grew up in a Christian home and was kind of told that you will go to church. But as I, you know, as we go through life, I went away from the church and sowed my oats and lived wildly. And then I was on this trip that I really was having fear of death and fear of God. And part of that trip, I met my dad in Tahiti in July of 95. Now, he had already sailed all the way from Michigan on this little 27-foot sailboat from Michigan, from our yacht club here in Holland, Michigan, down the Mississippi River, through the Gulf of Mexico, Yucatan Peninsula, all the way down to the Gulf, the Panama Canal, out to the Galapagos to Marquesas is a 28-day stretch, longest point-to-point sailboat track in the world. And then from Marquesas down to Tahiti. I met my dad in Tahiti, and we sailed the rest of the way 4 months to New Zealand. And it was on that sailboat trip that it was like the first time that in a 10-year stretch where I was like not getting high and drinking, and it was like, oh, my gosh, this is great. I don't have to do those things to get pleasure out of life. And we were going to keep going around the world, but my mom got to New Zealand, and she said to my dad, hey, I basically feel like a whale for this last year, and I'm tired of it. I've encourage you to come home. If you don't, I won't be there when you get back. So we came home from New Zealand in December 95. I launched my landscape business in 96, and I was just off the charts. I was so excited about this travel I just had, but now I'm back home, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm back in my little town. It sucks. And I just spiraled down. I'd say I hit rock bottom May of 1996 and was just so inwardly focused and, like, thinking all – it was all about me. Like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? I wish I'd known about the law of attraction back then. Because I love what Les Brown says. He says, it's so important that first 20 minutes of your waking hour that you have flood your mind with positive thoughts those first 20 minutes. I don't care if you're reading scripture, listen to somebody like Tony Robbins or Les Brown, but just flood your mind with good stuff. So anyway, I was in a dark and gloomy place, and my mom, through those next months after May, kept telling me, you're your own worst enemy. You're your own worst enemy. You got to quit beating yourself up. I had so much self-loathing going on. And I'm gonna shift here a little bit. There is a Italian company called the Rudy Project. The Rudy Project makes ski helmets for skiing and cycling, and also eyewear for skiing and cycling. Very popular brand amongst Iron Man. My sister got me a pair of goggles in the early 2000s. I just can't help it. I love the name Rudy. It's my name. And so as I thought about it over the years on my self-improvement program, I'm like, you know what? I'm a project. And I'm the only one that can work on me. And, you know, Dave Kislak, a psychiatrist, a doctor, another friend, told me, hey man, you got this character flaw you gotta work on. We are not automobiles, are we? You can't put somebody on a hoist and work on them. You gotta work on yourself. And, so, yeah, the Rudy Project. We are all projects, aren't we? And, so, the kind of the way that I got out of that funk was I ran a marathon in 1996, ran the Chicago Marathon. And this was obviously way before 9/11. Carried a cross, a little cross in one hand and an American flag in the other. And, I had never been much of a runner and decided, on the drive home from a wedding in August of 96, I decided I'm going to run that marathon. And it was in the car driving home that day that I had probably one of the most profound turning points in my life. It was like a conversation with God. He just came, just like started speaking to me, and I'm like, yep, mm-hmm. And he was like, well, you know what I teach about your enemies? Yeah, duh, like love your enemy. You know, a little bratty kid, like, duh, God, yeah, love your enemy. And he stopped me right there. He said, you are your own worst enemy, and I command you to love yourself. And I just broke. I wept. This ethereal, crazy, weird cry. And that was a shift in my life. I got it. The head knowledge of love your enemy. Oh, my God, I'm my own worst enemy. It shifted from my head down to my heart. And I said, God, oh, God, oh, God, you're going to have to help me love myself. And so I can honestly say I really like myself. I love myself. It's not until we truly love ourselves that we can love others. And so, you know, you look at people that, you know, we're just constantly hearing about people that are committing suicide and just the self-loathing that's out there. So, man, just encourage you. If you're in a place where you're not really loving yourself, just cry out to God like I did. Okay, help me love myself. And so life is sweet. Life is really, really, really sweet. One of my bucket list places that I want to go is this fall, I would like to treat myself and go to one of those over-the-water bungalows in Maldives, which is a small archipelago nation off the southwest part of India. Right now, looks like the country is open, so hopefully things don't change here. I'll be able to go to the Maldives. What else can I share with you guys this morning? I was going to share a quote. There's a African proverb that says, if there is no enemy within, the enemy without can do us no harm. Isn't it true? Like, we are so good at beating ourselves up. And so sometimes when I meet people, I'll just point blank, what do you like about yourself? And it's an amazing thing to do. People often are like deer in headlights. Like, we're so fixated on the things that we don't like about ourselves that to even utter one good thing about ourselves is a stretch. Isn't that sad? So today, my friend, today is the day. Today is a great day for a good day. And I hope my words have inspired and encouraged you, and my story resonates with you. Again, I welcome anybody to send me a friend request. Rudy Vidavel, V as in Victor, E-D-O-V-E-L-L. I really, really, really enjoyed sharing with you guys, and hope I can hop on one of your calls again as a guest speaker, and certainly will be joining again as a listener. I was going to say at the beginning of the call, you can kind of think of me like Dos Equis' replacement, Dos Equis' most interesting man in the world. I would love if I could get that job doing an ad campaign for Dos Equis. Anyway, it's been a plum pleasing pleasure to share with you guys today. And again, we'll see you at the top. Bye for now. Oh, Dave, I forget how I'm supposed to close out. This is Rudy Vidavel. Wake up to prosperity. Have a phenomenal day.
The moderator has left the conference.